We continue our study of Paul's letter to the Romans today. This letter was written to a congregation made up of both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And apparently there was some friction between these two groups, but Paul made two important claims to them about the faith. First, he wrote in chapter 1 that the power of salvation is for everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then in chapter 3, he wrote, there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul drives home this message of inclusion in chapter 4 by focusing on Abraham as the ancestor of both Jews and Gentiles. Abraham modeled faithfulness by trusting God. So let's listen now to our scripture text. I'll read verses 1 through 12 of chapter 4. And this is what Paul writes. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Is this blessedness then pronounced only on the circumcised or also on the uncircumcised? We say faith reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor of all who believe without being circumcised, who thus have righteousness reckoned to them, and likewise the ancestor of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow the example of the faith that our ancestor Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. I'll be honest with you, Paul's letters aren't always easy to read or understand, and you may feel that way about today's scripture passage, but there is a lot of good theology here. And one of the things Paul invites us to reflect on is faithfulness, and specifically, what does a faithful life look like, and how do we live it? Now, I certainly believe this is a pressing and urgent matter that demands our attention, given the times that we are living in. We Christians should rise up and meet the challenges facing our world right now. And we can do this by being faithful to Christ. But anyone who tries to follow Jesus knows that living a faithful life is challenging. It takes work on our part. And so we read up on ways we can grow in the faith. We seek advice from other Christians. And at times, we may even feel like we need to rethink or even reinvent the way we practice the faith. Now, reinventing things happens rather consistently, and this has been particularly true during the last few months. In fact, we've had to make a lot of changes. It started with COVID-19. We had to reinvent any and all the ways that we gather together. And two places that we've seen this play out is with school and church. Schools shifted from in-person instruction to online learning. And churches closed their buildings and opened up Zoom and YouTube accounts and started broadcasting their worship services. Then another round of change happened when our governor shifted us into phase two of the reopening plan, which has allowed restaurants, retail shops, salons, and barbershops to open, but with significant changes. All of them had to reinvent the way that they carry out their business. People are also trying to affect change with racial justice. The recent protests and civil unrest are trying to get our country to pay attention to the injustices people of color experience. And I believe there is a great need for us as a society to work for lasting change. We need to reimagine how our society can function so that all people are treated equally all the time. Now, in addition to these examples, there are times when we need to reinvent the way that we embody and practice the faith so that we can lead a more faithful life. And leading a faithful life is about staying in step with God. One of the main reasons we gather as a church is to learn how to do this. We want to be faithful to God, and we're accustomed to doing this by relying on the commandments and instructions that we find in the scriptures, and it's a good thing for us to do this. But when Jesus walked this earth, he shared a new idea. It was a new perspective on faith. Now, keep in mind that for thousands of years, people believed they could lead a faithful life by following a set of rules that they found in the Torah or the law. The men and women who lived by these rules believed that God would see them as righteous because they thought they were doing all the right things. But when you try to live a faithful life in this way, some problems creep in, and one of the biggest problems is legalism, where the focus is on following rules rather than nurturing a relationship with God. Another big problem is seen in the fact that people inevitably do something wrong. Now, we may have the best intentions, but we don't always act that way. Instead of doing good, we sometimes do evil. Instead of acting righteous, we act in unrighteous ways. And that certainly doesn't look like a faithful life. Now, earlier in his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one." He even confesses his own failures. In chapter 7, Paul says, "I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do." And then Paul goes on to say, "The evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing." Paul realized that following the letter of the law doesn't make a person righteous. Now, at the beginning of our scripture, he asks, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about." Now, Paul was aware that many people thought of Abraham as righteous because of his works. He did a lot of impressive things. And that might lead you to believe that his works are what justified him and made him faithful. But Paul looked at it from a different perspective. Now, he quoted Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, when he wrote, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Paul realized that Abraham's faith is what made him righteous, not his works. And making this claim was a huge leap of faith for Paul, because for years he'd assumed that Abraham was justified by works. But after he started following Jesus, Paul learned that Abraham was justified through the righteousness of faith. And this righteousness can be gained by anyone who shares the faith of Abraham, even if they're not able to follow God's law to the letter. Now, this is the message of grace. But so often we're tempted to believe that our own efforts will enable us to measure up to God's standards. And that leads us to work hard at living a faithful and righteous life. But Paul reminds us that Abraham was made right with God because of his willingness to believe. And that point's emphasized in verse 13, where Paul wrote, "For the promise that Abraham would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." In other words, Abraham had faith, and it was his willingness to believe that made him right with God. This is what helped him live a faithful life. And it's this belief in God's ability to save us that makes us righteous in God's eyes. At the end of chapter 3, Paul wrote, "We hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law." Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by God, who sent Jesus into the world to make everything right. So faith, at its core, is a willingness to trust God. It's a willingness to lean on a power much greater than our own, and to trust that whatever lies ahead, God will be there for us. Paul told the Romans that Abraham put his trust in God. In verse 19, he wrote, "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead." See, Abraham knew his limitations, but he still trusted God to be the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, as he puts it in verse 17. And sure enough, God did what he promised and made Abraham the father of many nations. Now, when we have this kind of faith, we can live a righteous life. With this kind of faith, we trust that Jesus will lead us in the right direction when we're faced with a moral or ethical dilemma. With this kind of faith, we trust that the Holy Spirit will lift us up when we feel disappointed by our jobs or when friends let us down. And with this kind of faith, we trust God to work through us, even when we fail. Living faithfully doesn't come from doing all the right things or by following all the rules. Instead, it's based on faith. So what do our lives look like when they're really rooted in faith? Martin Luther put it this way. He said that good works do not make a good person, but a good person does good works. Luther knew that the only thing that makes us right in God's eyes is our faith in Jesus Christ. And once we're right with God, our job is to live like Jesus and to do as much good as we possibly can. And that's why we're called to live with compassion, kindness, humility, patience, with love, and with forgiveness. Now, we do these sorts of things not because we're trying to earn our way into heaven. We do them because these qualities are rooted in Jesus Christ, and they become ours when we trust the Lord. But do you trust Jesus? Do you trust that God, through Jesus Christ, will justify you? I think sometimes we're not so sure. We worry that something we've done in the past automatically disqualifies us from being faithful. But nothing we have done is beyond the reach of God, who loves us beyond measure. God wants to draw us in. And the closer that we move to God, the more faithful we become. Now, people have been living faithful lives since before the time of Abraham. But it was Paul who helped us see that we're made righteous, not by what we do, but through faith. That's how we live a faithful life. So let's trust God as we move into the future, and knowing that we are made right because of the Lord, because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Let's also remember that we are made right with God, and that should lead us to live in a right relationship with others. That should lead us to live more like Jesus. It should lead us to practice love, kindness, and justice with our world. And right now, these things are desperately needed. I invite you now to join me in prayer. If you would bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious God, we are grateful that Paul has reminded us today that we are made right with you through faith and through faith alone. This is about what you have done for us. And so we pray that we would learn to trust you with our lives, that our future is in your hands, and that you have good plans for each and every one of us. And because of this reality, we pray that we will show our trust in you by living with faithfulness and by doing your good works. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.